blessings from soul to soul. Let's start today's talk with Luke 14:26. It's a very important scripture, one that's overlooked, one that, well, we don't want to look at it because we don't understand it. Luke 14:26. And this is Christ speaking. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And we all know that Christ is not a man that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. Christ is the invisible spirit in your midst. And you who claim that you want to be a disciple of Christ, a student of Christ, a follower of Christ, are being told by the Christ of your being, if any man comes to me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And later he says, so likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And so the Christ of you is saying you must hate your father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and your own life. And you must forsake all that you have. Well, that's pretty strong language. Here I thought the spiritual life was supposed to make us loving towards all these people, bring us spiritual goodness, manifest as good things in the world. What then does the Christ of your being mean by all this? In the book The Altitude of Prayer by Joel Goldsmith, he says something that is also pretty drastic. In the chapter This is Immortality, he says, the human life we live is nothing but a dream. We are here for a span of a few years and then are gone. Well, now, if you put these two together, that's pretty startling, to say the least. In order for you to follow Christ, you have to hate your mother and father and sisters and brethren and your own life. And your human life as you're living it is but a dream. Wow. Now that's something. So what is it telling us? What is the Christ of you saying? What is the Christ of you when you read those things? When you take them into your meditation, what does the Christ of you whisper to you about them? It's the Christ of you which is speaking them. Therefore, you must go to the Christ within to find out what Christ means. Now, on the other hand, we have such statements as Christ consciousness happens to you when you have no fear, no hate, or no love of anything in this world. And you have my kingdom, the place where God dwells, the kingdom of God, of Spirit, that place where Christ is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. That sort of lets the steam out of our belief that we can somehow contact God and make a better human life, doesn't it? That we can somehow pray to God to turn the bad experiences, such as disease and lack and limitation and loneliness, into the positives. What does Christ mean? You must hate all this, and even your own life in this world, while at the same time telling you you must be free of all hate in order to experience the Christ. Seems like a paradox, doesn't it? And yet it's not. Have you experienced your own immortality? Have you experienced in your meditation that part of you which is immortal? Actually, that's not the proper way to phrase that, because it's not a part. It is the totality of you. Have you experienced your own immortal, incorporeal, spiritual self? Joel is telling us, if we haven't experienced that immortality, that immortal self, we are dreaming. We are focused on a human life, which is a dream. And Christ is telling us, we must not love the dream. We must not focus on the pictures which this world presents. The pictures of a mother and father that are so many years old. Brothers and sisters that we like or dislike or are impartial to. Wives, husbands, children. Christ is telling you that you must not even focus on your own human life. And so Joel and Christ through Joel and Christ through Jesus and Christ in you is telling you, that the time has come to make a transition out of this world, out of seeing human beings, out of a human span, out of your own human life, a transition out of this world into the immortal self. And that's quite a transition. Yet he states plainly, if you don't forsake all of that, you cannot be a disciple of Christ. This should make you pause and ponder, how do I do this? What must I do to abandon all of these concepts? There is a way to live in the experience of immortality here and now. There is a way to look and behold the immortality where your mother and father and sister and brother and wife and husband and children, indeed even yourself, appear to be. The Christ is standing at the door of your consciousness and knocking, saying unto you, if you would be my disciple, you must look and behold and experience immortality here and now. But you see, you can't experience immortality, you cannot behold immortality, if at the same time you wish to hang on to the concepts of mortality. Now, Mary Baker Eddy said, mortality is a myth. Now, that should make you pause and ponder, what is mortality? And if you come to the same conclusion I do, mortality is everything that you see, hear, taste, touch, smell, or think. Ah, so now Christ is telling you, you must forsake that which you see, hear, taste, touch, smell, or think. You must come up over all of that and step into the experience of immortality, of Christ. Then only are you a disciple of Christ. Now let us take a look at what else Joel had to say in this chapter. It won't give you the experience of immortality, but it may put you on the right road, taking the correct steps. And so, the Christ of Joel says, since I and my Father are one, I will coexist with God eternally. Now, who is this I? If you look in the mirror, it should be enough to show you that that I that you're looking at, that form, that won't coexist with God eternally. That's the life that Christ in the scripture said you must forsake. You must hate your life. It doesn't mean you have to have anger towards it. That's not what it means. Hate in that sense means you must forsake it. You must see through it. You must be willing to let it go. So that's not the I. Anything of you that you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell, which is all of your form, anything of you which you can think about, that also will not coexist with God eternally. There's another I. And if you have not experienced that other I, then be honest about it. Don't pretend. But know that there is another I. And so it says, since I and the Father are one, I will coexist with God eternally. I will live forever in the bosom of the Father, for I and my Father are inseparable and indivisible. Neither life nor death will ever separate me from the life and the love of God, for I am life, I am truth, I am spirit, I am incorporeal, I am eternal. I will never pass away. Forms, yes, but not I. I will be here forever. Until you realize this, you cannot fully benefit from the teaching of Christ Jesus, which is that the life of God is your life. This constitutes your immortality. Dying does not ensure immortality. Immortality is an activity of truth in your consciousness, and can just as well be experienced while you are on earth. In order to experience immortality, however, you must understand the nature of your own being. Unless you know what you are, you cannot experience immortality. Immortality is an experience which you may have here and now, if within yourself you can realize I. And so there it is again. Just as Christ Jesus said, you must forsake all that you have in order to be my disciple. So the Christ through Joel says, unless you experience this immortal I, you cannot follow the teaching of Christ Jesus. So we've come to that place in our spiritual walk where we have discovered now applying spiritual principles in order to make our human span of life on earth better is not the goal or the purpose of the spiritual path. The goal and the purpose of the spiritual path is that you might find a way to forsake your mother and father and sister and brother and wife and husband and children and neighbors, indeed, even yourself. Transition out of that into a dimension where you may commune, rest in, and abide in an immortal, incorporeal spiritual self. More and more and more and more and more until you are so at one with it that it begins to outpicture you. Now, Joel in this same chapter says, and I am going to paraphrase it rather than opening my eyes and searching for it. He says, until you live in your own immortality, you will not know the immortality of your mother and father, the immortality of your sister, brother, wife, husband, children. Only when you know and step into and experience the immortality of your infinite self will you know the immortality of those around you. And furthermore, when you experience the immortal self, the love that flows to you and from you back in a sort of oneness of love, then, and then only, may you pour that love out for that same immortal self in others. Until then, you cannot love others. It's an imitation love. If mortality is a myth, this life is a dream. It's an imitation love about an imitation person. You're loving a concept which has become crystallized in your mind. And you may go 10 or 20 years loving a concept, never knowing the reality that stands right there. Yet if you stand in immortal self, then the love that flows out flows to immortal self. Then you are loving the reality. Do you see why we're told that we must be free of hate, fear, and love of anyone or anything in this world? Because my kingdom is not of this world. Because my presence is not of this world. Because my immortality is not of this world. Because your immortality is not of this world. Because their immortality is not of this world. Because there is no I of this world. So it becomes imperative to us that would be disciples of Christ to make the transition within ourselves out of the belief in mortality, into an experience of immortality here and now. And how do we do that? I think you know it begins with meditation. Not contemplation, no, but meditation. Through the years of practicing contemplation, we have learned to turn within, and we have no more need for thinking thoughts of truth. Many of us have come to that place where we can simply drop the sense world, close our eyes, and be at peace, and listen. Oh, sure, if it helps, we can say one or two lines. We can say, I am dropping this world. I'm turning within. Now, Father, reveal immortality, and then stand still. We may say, immortal self, speak. Immortal self, I rest in thee. The words are important. It is the turning and the resting. And so let us do that now for a moment. You close your eyes. I am dropping, I am forsaking this world and all the mortal images just for this moment. Here in my temple, infinite immortal self, reveal thy self. And if you feel what I feel, you feel the movement of a transcendental presence. Maybe we've called that presence the presence, or Father, or Christ. Now it's time to take another step. This I, in the midst of me, am the way. This I, in the midst of me, am the life. This I, in the midst, am the truth. Now, so still, so quiet, so receptive, that I can live you. Just be still. I am living you. I am the life of you. I am the life of your neighbor. I am the life of your relatives. I am the only life. I am the immortal life. And I am living you. There is no other life. I, in the midst of thee, am life, eternal life. I have come that you might have immortal life. Springing up from the great invisible into manifestation as this, the invisible spiritual life. I am infinite. I go before you. I existed before this body was formed, and I am there right now. I exist after the body is dissolved, and I am there right now. I, in your very midst, am your immortal self, before the beginning, after the end. I am. Come unto me. Turn ye and live. Turn from those concepts. Turn to me. Abide in me, the immortal self, and I in you. So shall ye be my disciples. Yes, forsake those concepts. Come within. Abide in me. Feel me. Right here, at the center of you. I am the life of your spouse, your children. Love me. And I love you. Love me in thee and me in them. For the eye of you, I am also the eye of them. And if you will lose your life, you shall find I am right here. Do you feel me? Some of you do. I am your everlasting, immortal, eternal, living, rest in I. Be not afraid. It is I. I, your own immortality, and the Father are one. The Father in I in the Father. I am your immortality. Come here to me often, to this well of your consciousness. I am here. You may drop the burdens of this world at my feet, all of them, and I will give you my kingdom. More and more and more, dwell in me, abide in me, and I will abide in you, and you will feel me. Sometimes when you least expect it, I will steal upon you, I, your immortal self. Look deeper than the mortality you see in the people around you. See if you can't see I in their midst. See if you can't feel I in the midst. This is the secret to living in immortality here and now. Yes, to know God aright is life eternal. And to know God aright is to know that God, the Father, and I am one. And I am the immortal, eternal life of you, of all. It's not necessary to think many thoughts now. Far more important is that you come within here and just dive into I and let I abide in you. I in your midst am the way. Abide in I. And I will lift you and help you in your transition. I can never leave you. for I am you. But this must be an inner experience. You must abide in I and feel I moving through you. And I move through your consciousness, and I make the crooked places straight, and I make the rough places smooth, and I make an abundance appear where the world mind saw lack, and I make the sick pick up their beds and walk, and I reveal my omnipresence, and that you are never alone, for wherever you are, I am. And I, through you, raise up the dead. Just by your knowing and communing with the I of your neighbor, in some invisible way which the mind is unaware of, your neighbor will begin to awaken out of the grave, without you doing a thing, saying a word, moving a muscle. I am immortal life, here and now. And in this silence, having forsaken all, I am living you. As in heaven, so on earth. For in this I, the two become one, and all that I have may manifest. You, as a witness, will behold the immortal kingdom of heaven on earth. Let us finish with one more excerpt from this chapter. This is immortality. Now, this I that has been declaring itself to you is speaking these words from within your being. So listen to it. Listen to I, the I of you. The I that I am is of the same spiritual substance as God. The I that I am is of the same truth substance as God. The I that I am is of the same love substance as God. Therefore, the I that I am is incorporeal, spiritual, pure, infinite, and it has given me a body to live it. The I that I am has brought this body from infancy to maturity, and it will keep it right on until this body falls away. And I immediately appear in a new form. Just as the life of the tree appears in the new form of the seed, so the life of the seed appears in the new form of the new tree. The life of the tree appears in the new form of the new leaves, the new buds, the new blossoms, and yet it is always the same life, always that invisible, immortal life which is God. That life which I am is always in the bosom of the Father, never separate and apart from the infinite divine life. Therefore, omnipresent, I am always present, and the Master, who is omnipresence, is always present where I am, as are all the masters of all the ages, all the masters of all the religions, all the masters of all the great mystical teachings. The life of all of us is united because of omnipresence. And where I am right now in meditation, I become consciously aware of the truth that I and the Father are one. And in that oneness, I am now present with the saints and the sages and the masters of all time. Wherever the consciousness of God is, there are the saints, sages, and revelators, all embodied in God consciousness. Do you see? The I that has declared itself to you, your immortal self, is one with all I everywhere. And so he finishes with, someday you will have an experience and learn that you are I, that yourself cannot be confined in time or in space, but that you exist beyond time and beyond space. And then you will have the secret of your own pre-existence. You will know that before Abraham was, I am, and I will be with you unto the end of the world. Whether I say that, or you say it, there is only one I on this earth. That I is the identity of those who have gone out of our physical sight. It is our identity, and it is the identity of those still unborn. And that is your immortality. So do you see? If you would be a disciple of Christ, your inner Christ, then you must forsake these concepts called mother, father, wife, husband, children, neighbors, even the mortal concept called self. And where do you forsake them? Not in a holy mountain somewhere, or out in the desert or by the beach. You forsake them in your inner chamber. And having forsaken them there, you make the transition in your meditation to the experience of your own immortal self, the I in my midst. And this is the secret to experiencing immortality here and now. More and more and more you come in here, into your inner being, and have the experience. Until the experience begins to linger, you open your eyes after your meditation, and you're still in it. You look at your spouse or your children, and you feel the eye of them. It lingers with you. And after a while, it comes upon you when you weren't even meditating. And eventually, it becomes you. The eye outpictures your entire life. This is immortality living itself on earth as in heaven. This is your destiny. This is your goal, your secret mission that you do not tell anyone. And yet this is the identity that is shouted from the housetops. You see, the kingdom of heaven is not a place. The kingdom of heaven is an identity. And so God dwells in his kingdom. God dwells in an identity. And as you make the transition from mortal and stand in your immortal identity, God dwells in your identity. For you and God are one. You have the kingdom of heaven. It is your real identity. It is your infinite immortal self. The I of you, here and now.